got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage. Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Happy Nerds Day, everybody. You're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA here in the Allo Communications Studios in downtown Greeley. We've got Scott, Micah, and Nick here to take you on the nerd journey of the week.
A.K.A. Darth Monger. Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
And there you have it. That's us.
It's the first time all year I've gotten the order right.
No, that's not true.
Oh, you got it right a couple weeks ago.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. I felt like that was another Swader dad joke. The
illustrious
Swader.
Darth Swader.
Yes, Darth Swader.
Darth Blue Swader Shoes.
Yes, there we go. So we had a new trailer that dropped last week during the Monday night version of playoffs, which was really kind of odd. I'm not really sure what's going on with that. And I'm sure the Dallas Cowboys will blame Monday Night Football last week and then having to turn around and play on a short schedule because they lost yesterday. But we're not going to talk about sports. We'll talk about the trailer that dropped for The Mandalorian Season 3.
You know, I love watching what are you guys' go-to, episode recaps? Right now, for me, it's Screen Crush. He kind of annoys me with the talking dog. But I do like how fast-paced he gives a lot of Easter eggs and feedback.
Yeah,
I don't like his plugs halfway through. The commercials are a bit much. But hey, he's getting sponsored, and he's getting to see things before they drop. And I'm curious, do people like that have a team that get all those clips together, or does he do that himself? Because that's impressive.
He probably has a team.
He might. We should reach out to him and see if he wants to be on the show, and we could ask him those questions.
Or the dog.
Or the dog. That would be fine, too.
But yeah, Season 3 Mando... I think that was the final trailer.
Yes, I believe so.
Just like we had the final trailer for Ant-Man. I don't think we've talked about that, too.
We have not. We've got Quantumania.
Yeah, that comes out in February. I think it's February 17th, so less than a month. We're getting Mando March 1st. And, of course, we're in The Bad Batch, and The Last of Us is out. And, Scott, I just want to say I've only watched two things on my TV now, and they've been The Last of Us.
Yeah.
I don't know why I credit the TV for a scary show.
I don't know either.
The surround sound. I tell you, that damn clicking is happening behind my
those
head.
Those clickers.
And I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. But anyway.
Oh, really? See, I was in a big building alone, like all dark, and I was fine.
Well, Micah.
He just has a stronger constitution than we do.
Yes, I have a very strong constitution. My amendments are incredible.
Micah probably has 412 amendments.
Probably so.
The First Amendment has to do with Star Trek.
You know, it was funny because Micah was saying before we came on air tonight that he doesn't like watching certain elements especially, but like in the post, you know, the post show, kind of the discussion afterwards. And I really like that HBO is doing that with this series.
It's, they did it with House of the Dragon,
too. They did it with House of the Dragon.
I haven't seen any from Last of Us.
Well, yeah, if you stick around long enough and you just don't skip ahead or, you know, exit out, you get to see them. But they did a great job of talking about it, both last week's episode and this week's. And I really liked the way that they kind of got into some of the nuances and the differences between the characters. And so without us, you know, hopefully we're not...
Like differences from the TV, from the video game?
Well, that, they talked a little bit about that this week. But last week, I thought it was great because they were talking about the differences between the two co-stars that Pedro Pascal has worked with, his quote-unquote daughters, his first daughter and his second daughter.
Oh.
And it was just very interesting how, you know, Joel has to protect both of them early on. And when we're introduced to Joel... originally when they're in Texas, when this whole thing starts to go crazy, and then when he's introduced to Elle, and, you know, as they're trying to get out of town, and what you see is the very differences in their foundational responses to that. So like when Joel has to kill the old woman, you know, his daughter is like freaking out. She doesn't like that. She's very emotionally traumatized by that. You know, she doesn't like it. She's scared. She's crying. She's really into it. Or, you know, she's not excited about it at all. She's traumatized. And then you flash forward to as they're trying to get out of the city, and Joel has to beat up and essentially beats to death the guard that he had been talking to earlier. And you look at Elle's face, and she is mesmerized. I mean, she is fixated on it, and she is like getting adrenaline, and she is like into it.
You think so? I didn't
get
that sense.
Oh, yeah. And I went back and watched it again, and they actually talk about it in kind of the post-episode discussion of how it's intentional. I mean, you hear her. You know, you ever had to kill someone? What was it like? You know, she's really fixated on that. And I think that's going to become part of the story as we move forward with her fascination with her being able to take a clicker's life or do something about that and how that gets her adrenaline pumping in a excited way, whereas with Joel's daughter was completely the opposite.
Well, her daughter
was raised
grew
in
up
a different yeah, time.
Well, yeah, agreed.
She grew up in a completely different time, whereas this new girl grew up in
twenty,
and this girl's only
14.
14, yeah. So
all she
she's
knows
known,
is this world.
She's known mm-hmm. horror yeah. her entire life. And she's obsessed with that little knife. So, of course, she's going to be a psychopath.
Well, this is very, I know we talked about it before we've analyzed the show much, but Micah's worry, and probably mine too, is that it turns into the Walking Dead type of series.
And I still have that worry, even more so now.
Well, I don't.
Especially seeing the clickers.
I'm just want to go look at, we don't have a child character in The Last of Us, at least, well, we don't, and we probably won't, who is like a Carl, you know, who grew up on the side that Sarah, was her name Sarah, the first daughter?
Yeah.
That Sarah grew up in that life, and then chaos started raining down, and then you have Ellie, who grew up in this world, has been kind of locked up her whole life, and is very special. You know, living in the quarantine zone and exploring. We get that in episode 2 of how she got bit the first time. But we don't have that transition. We have one person who is very protected, you know, and I think she took as much care of her dad as he did of her because we don't know the whole backstory of him and why he was a single dad. I'm sure we'll get that. But it's very interesting. We don't have like a Carl who grew up transforming, you know, into the kid that young adult that he became.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the biggest difference from a child's perspective. But yeah, I'm going to have to watch that again and see because, I mean, that could either be really good for her survival or it turns out you have like a maniac who's got the cure, I use that with air quotes, in her blood who is infatuated with killing.
Yeah, and you see her, you know, she's got a chip on her shoulder. She's got an attitude and everything else like that, but she still wants to, you know, survive. And we see, you know, kind of her fear when she realizes that Tess is going to sacrifice herself at the end of the second episode. And she doesn't like that. And you know, when Joel grabs her and says, we need to run, I mean, she originally resists. So I don't think she's like this psychopath. I think she is somebody who is complex. And we're really going to get into the nuances of what that means for her character, both when she's in that fight or flight mode where she may get super jazzed because she's going to end up taking somebody out, but she's going to start growing attached to Joel and anybody else that they come in contact with, and that'll be interesting.
I hope she turns out to be a psychopath.
I have not played the games, so I don't know the story plot. And I like that. I like going into it. I will say after episode 2, it's not a bad thing. I'm going to just preface that, but she annoys me. Not because she's, it's just her, I don't know, cockiness maybe, or just, I don't think she understands the seriousness of the world. And you kind of get that little speech from Pedro Pascal's character, Joel, of from here on out, it is silent, not quiet, silent.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could tell in his face of shut up and listen to him. You know, you're not just on some handoff, you know, to do some no-code-nosh delivery of food services or anything like that. She does not yet now. And I think she kind of has that cockiness because she is immune to the disease, to the fungus. Yeah. But as Pedro said, I'll use his real name. Joel says, you know, it doesn't stop them from tearing you apart.
Right.
And I think losing Tess is still going to be kind of raw for her. I think that's going to be her first big loss of, I don't know what her upbringing was. She was orphaned, all this stuff. But I think she's going to have to see somebody get torn apart for her to get less cocky. Because she's just going around into these buildings and I'm sitting here like, shut up, Shut. Pay attention. Yeah. When she was going over to the hotel and ringing the bell, I'm like, you
just, yeah.
Oh my gosh. That was making me really nervous. I knew something was going to go wrong. I knew Tess had to die at some point. I'm a little surprised it was this early on. I don't know if this is following directly the parallels to the video game, but I'm wondering for those video gamers out there who've played this, and I don't want to know it because I want to go in blind, but at what point does she grow up?
Yeah, I don't know. It will be interesting to see. And like you, I've not played the game. I've talked to my youngest son, and Hunter told me he has played the game, said the game was amazing. It was really good. And he said so far, and again, we're only two episodes in, it seems to be tracking fairly well, with the exception of the way that the fungus spreads, because obviously it was spores and it was airborne when it was in the actual video game. And you know, there were some things about that with the masks and stuff that has changed with that. And so there's that element. Plus, the other element is the idea of them being able to communicate over long distances because they're underground. It's this gigantic organism, which, you know, I kind of like that concept as well, because it puts them in a little bit more danger that it's not localized. And we saw that in this episode where it's like, you know, okay, now he, you know, sees the one creature and it starts to wake up and he shoots it. The clicker, the one that's starting to become a clicker. And then all of a sudden, it's like all the ones that they had seen before in the street outside of the, I think it was the museum, are like, oh, here we come. And we're going crazy and we're going after you. So
it was, we have so much more to talk about this. We should probably let Micah wrap up before we go on a tangent down this path. But we're talking a little bit of Last of Us. We'll recap the next couple episodes in the next segment or two.
Yeah.
And talk about Mando and Bad Batch and Ant. We have a lot to talk about.
We
and
do?
M&M's. M&M's too.
M&M's.
Well, stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Nerd Show. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. So we're talking The Last of Us, the latest series from HBO Max. I know they put a lot of money out there on the line for House of the Dragon. I think this was an even larger risk than House of the Dragon.
Ooh. Say some more about that.
I tend to agree.
That's what the tabloids, I hate saying that, but we're saying about House of the Dragon. They're kind of going all in for this prequel story about the Targaryens. Stunning. I mean, it was a stunning, everything that's come out this past year, nerdy-wise. I mean, Rings of Power and House of the Dragon, they're not sparing any expenses as far as full immersion into that world and the cinematography. But I think Last of Us, I think this is a big... it's got, I think, the second most watched premiere episode on HBO Max. I don't know what the first was. I hope it was House of the Dragon. But I think that's a large number to me, considering I only knew about the game from 10 years ago when it was on PS3 or something like that, or maybe PS4. But other than that, I feel like that's a really strong statement for, is it the video game? Are there video game players out there watching this, or does it have such a compelling story and HBO's been doing such a good job with their storytelling that it got one of the top premieres they've had?
You know, I would say that it's probably a combination of several things. I mean, I didn't even know that it was a video game until like right before it came out and people were like, oh, it's based on a video game. And then recognizing that it's the first series of its nature to be based on a video game, which we're always like, you know, we see movies and then they turn into a video game or whatever else. So I thought that was kind of cool. I also think that Pedro Pascal has got a lot of star power right now, and the work that he's done as of late, and knowing that he's a really good actor. I mean, he's a really good actor.
Mm-hmm. And he's doing a great job with his English accent.
Yes.
Better than in The Equalizer 2, which he was not great in that.
Yes. But, you know, so we're seeing these elements of HBO's doing a really good job of, you know, to your point, they're bringing good actors, they're getting interesting storylines, and they've had some there's been some history around some of these things. And so I think you're pulling them in from all of those areas. And there's an element of, well, let's see how well this goes off. And there's some buzz and there's some following and they're doing a good job about that. So I think overall, it's just a really good strategy and they're delivering. So when people are going, oh, I watched the first episode and it was good. I mean, not being a fan of the video game, having never played it, I was hooked. I'm like, I want to see what happens. I'm vested in these characters.
When so it comes would you down say risk, so far though, this is doing better than Halo?
I think I told you last week that I had to stop right before we saw the big reveal moment of the last of the original, you know, the season opener. In that 20 minutes, it had already done better than the entire series of Halo.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. And at that point that you had to stop, I actually couldn't watch. So I had to leave. There are certain things that I can't watch a kid die.
Yep.
So I had to leave the room and I had to listen, but wait and just every now and then glance and hope that I didn't see something awful. Yep. I don't know. I guess I'm weird like that.
That's okay.
I could not do that.
It's tough. But my last comment for the risk, how does this pan out if and when they further deviate from the game?
Don't deviate too much. Don't do a Walking Dead.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I don't like cookie cutter shows. I don't want to rent the game and play it for a weekend and know what happens. But that's also what I think what we're seeing in Star Wars now is a lot of elements that they had in the non-canon era. And I don't want to say perfecting it, but using them in really strategic and smart ways. If they go off the beaten path, I think the two that they've done now with it not being spores, I like that. It helps us to see their face. It's not as important in a video game.
And also it's more scientifically accurate.
And then with these things under the ground, these mile-long connectors, I think that's pretty cool and doesn't take away from the story. But at your first pivotal moment where introducing a character or killing a character early or something happens, do you risk losing a lot of your fan base?
You know, I would say in this instance, no, because we know there's going to be more to the story. There's 20 years. I mean, you mentioned it in the last segment. There's 20 years in between when Joel lost Sarah and we're reintroduced to Joel and he's doing the work that he's doing. So there's a lot of story development in his character as well as what got Joel and Sarah to the point that they were at right before this whole happened in quote unquote circa 2003. So I think that there's some great opportunities where we can have flashbacks. We can have those elements. And you've got the perfect setup with Joel and Ellie to do that. It's like, okay, there's going to be something that triggers Joel because of what Ellie does or whatever else, that he's going to flash back to something that Sarah did. And so I think we've got a good opportunity to do that. And it's, you know, I complained about this in the Star Wars universe and what we've done with the new, it's like nobody good ever dies. You know, you continue to see this whole element. And so there's a part of the story that gets told that you are almost more invested because you're like, that was terrible. You know, and I know Micah talked about it, he didn't want to see it. But when you literally have something like that, you're like, this better move the story along. You know, why did that person have to die?
And I knew it was going to happen. I was kind of prepared for it, still can watch it. But first minute in, I knew enough about the story that there was a different girl. Yeah. And I'm like, first minute in, oh my God, they're going to kill this girl, aren't they?
They did it in such a tragic way, though. It was,
oh yeah,
she was phenomenal. I know what you were saying even last week's show, Micah, because I hadn't seen it yet. Of just the chemistry they had. Oh, for even just a half of an episode, they had an incredible amount of chemistry. The level of care. I love, you know, her honest thievery. She stole $60, only needed 20, and was going to give the other 40 back and stuff. I'm just a really thoughtful, kind, good kid. I can't wait to get more of the backstory, which is like, I like what they did for the second episode of going back and where this... do you call it a virus, since it's a fungus?
I don't know the right term, but we can go with that for now. But yeah, the doctor in Indonesia.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, I tell you, how do we fake this? I mean, the pause, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. She studied her whole life. What do? Bombs.
Yeah, I like finally you see a military guy. Like normally it's like military evil. Mm. But this time you have a military guy who's like a good guy who's like, how do we do this? How do we fix this? And she's like, you don't. Bomb the whole thing. I want to be with my family.
That was hard too. Are we done here? Can I go home to be with my family?
And it really made the comment that they're talking about when they're walking through the city, because they're like outside of Boston, right? They're walking through Boston and it's like, you know, this crater. you know, because Ellie's never been outside the QZ, and so the elements, and it's like, yeah, this is where the bombing happened, and it mostly worked here. It didn't work so well in other places, and you're just like, you know, they literally carpet bombed, you know, major cities in the U.S. because of this thing, and it just, it still didn't help, and 20 years later, we're still going after it, but we've got this rebellious core that's trying to overthrow the military dictatorship that has kind of been oppressive to the people.
Yeah.
And
yeah, with this, the public hangings. I mean, we barely scratched the surface on this show, so we have a lot we can continue talking about. I like the Fireflies. I think it's nice. Hopefully it's a callback to our long-lost TV series, Firefly. But there is so much to uncover, so many stories that they could go. I'm sure they'll follow the video game direction. But
and Nick Offerman's coming up in this next episode.
I'm excited for that.
Hey, this isn't free lunch, man. It's not Arby's.
Oh, I can't.
Arby's never give away free lunch.
Arby's is a restaurant.
Just wow. Yeah. I mean, well, and you know what the most stunning part of this past? I mean, Ellie's very perceptive, and it's just like in Walking Dead. Oh, you got bit, didn't you? Oh, yeah, you got scratched. And to see how quickly it spread and for how quickly she turned to want to kill Ellie, to want to just whatever, get this over with, go back to whatever, to this is a miracle.
Yeah.
And trying in her final moments to get Joel to understand how important Ellie is.
Yep.
And I know it's enough because clearly we have a video game built on that and we know that they get very close, become very close. What a strange ending to Tessa's life, though, as they're mouth eating her and she's trying to light that. Hard.
Yeah, you're like, is it going to light? Is it going to light? Is it going to light? And just barely lit.
It lit. Boom. Well, boom. Stay tuned for our next segment. We'll be back after this break. Stay tuned for more of The Nerd Show. We'll be right back. You are listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We've got Micah behind the glass, Scott sitting right beside me, and we'll just wrap up with just some comments. So far, gentlemen, what are your thoughts of The Last of Us on HBO Max?
I can't say enough good things about it, and I just literally, like, Sunday was like, oh, I got to wait till Sunday night to watch this. Dang it. I literally wanted to get up first.
7 p.m. too, because I was ready to watch it a little early and turn in early for the night. I'm like, oh, it doesn't come out until 9 p.m. Eastern. Oh, well.
I always
watch. The time we were trying to watch the Book of Boba Fett at like midnight at the distillery.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
I'm a late night person, so I'm always watching it at like 11 or midnight. I'm very wary. I'm afraid that it could become The Walking Dead, that it could just repeat itself over and over and over again. And these monsters at the beginning that are so hard to kill are going to be, you know, boom, headshot every time. So I'm worried about it a little bit, and maybe I'm not going to give it as big of a rating as I probably could.
Well, don't think about it. Just think of it as its own thing. Don't try to draw parallels to The Walking Dead.
I'm trying to, but I'm just...
You
so
just like
worried.
Being angry, Micah. For what you
it,
like being angry.
Oh, yeah. I should be Darth Angronus. So for what it is, I think it's pretty good. Best video game adaptation that I have seen since the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
I was going to say since Sonic, because that's the only thing that comes to mind. Well, so far we're all enjoying the show. We're curious of what your thoughts are. Again, and I like coming into something that's already established, but was an original for the game. I think the most horrifying thing about this, though, is that this fungi exists in our world.
Yeah, and it actually does.
Ants outnumber us like 10 billion to one.
And how they explained how it can exist in our world.
You know,
that actually scared me the very first scene.
Oh, yeah. I hope should have scared some people. I volunteer in the National Park Service, and something they're worried about in deer and even in elk is a chronic waste disease, which is basically an organism that eats your brain, but you're still alive. You're basically a zombie. It doesn't trigger you to
deer.
Become crazy. Oh, Micah. All right. Speaking of, there's no segue with deer. But the latest and final, I think, a trailer for Mandalorian Season 3 just dropped a little over a week ago. We get a lot. There's a lot that happens. But, here are the big things. Mando gets R5-D4.
Yep.
Pelly gives him, which there are some theories out there, and there is a comic book that R5-D4 is actually a force-sensitive droid.
What?
And he sacrificed himself on the sands of Tatooine so that R2 and 3PO would be able to be rejoined and would be able to lead Luke to Ben. Yes.
Yeah, to be able to...
That's no longer canon, by the way.
No?
Yes, that did exist.
That was. Anyway, so...
That's dumb
we
canon.
We get R5-D4, which is going to be fun. I think that's going to be a fun droid for us to get introduced to because we had IG-11 in the first season, and there was not a droid in the second season. But very rarely do we not get a droid in a Star Wars series. And honestly, the droids lately have been fantastic. I mean, there's nothing that beats the banter of the original, the OG, R2 and C-3PO. But K2SO is fantastic. Lando's droid is pretty fun and entertaining. Oh, it works.
That's... Oh, and we get a whole like droid chop shop.
Yeah.
In this one, I mean, we see it. You know, we see the characters that are of the same species as Babu Frick. Maybe it is Babu Frick. I don't know. You know, but we see that, and so we're going to see that. You talked about R5-D4, so we've got some droids. We're getting some of the callbacks and the Easter eggs, and I know that you know Mike is always like, well. I hate all the Easter eggs, but I like the fact that we are showing that the universe is big and these characters exist. You know, you get the, and I always mispronounce it, the Kwakian monkey lizard.
Salacious
Crumb.
Salacious Crumb.
Yeah, you know, so we see another one of those in this series, which I think is great, and we're going to get some of that stuff. I had to stop and go back multiple times because there's that one in atmosphere chase sequence, and I'm like, those are TIE interceptors, and they are. So there's some TIE interceptors that are going after the N1 that Din Djarin has been piloting. So you've got all these things. You've got Greef Karga, so we know that he's looking pretty smashing,
ritzy. But at the end of it, IG-11 statue's blown to bits, and the Mandos are there. We don't know which sect of Mandos they are. I am assuming, and maybe it kind of shows, it's the Armorer. I have a feeling that the Armorer is going to be going against Din in some capacity.
Yeah, I hope not, because I know that, you know, also in the in that trailer, we see him confront the Armorer, that he's going back to Mandalore because he wants to reclaim, you know, his title as a Mandalorian. And we heard Bo-Katan say, you know, that, oh, you're one of those and you're not really a Mandalorian. And we know that she's going to be in this episode. So there's a lot of nuances and ways that we can go with this and everything else. And I keep hearing people about who's going to save Grogu, who's going to save Grogu. And I'm still like, I don't know that we've really gotten enough to really say that Grogu needs to be saved. That one scene is more like a flashback almost to the Jedi in Order 66, which we saw as a part of the Obi-Wan series. So
Obi-Wan? Oh, we got Obi-Wan and a Book of Boba Fett, too.
Yeah, because if you remember in Obi-Wan, it was
Reva
that she got abandoned in the... You know, in the Jedi Temple when that happened. So.
Now, that's something I don't mind getting expanded because, I mean, the Jedi Temple is the temple. How does one division of clones and Darth Vader take out all those Jedi? I mean, I'm curious what happens there. There are a couple theories I tossed out the other day that it might be Mace Windu because Jedi can fall from extreme distances and still survive. And Mace has hinted over the years that he would love to come back and bring out that purple lightsaber. There's a good theory from Screen Crush. Well, it's not his, but he reported on it that Barriss Offee, she was from the Clone Wars. She was Ahsoka's best friend, the Padawan to Luminara. Unduly. And anyway, she got kicked out of the Jedi Order, actually framed Ahsoka.
Was she unduly kicked out?
No. She framed Ahsoka for Micah's put his hands up like he was.
I mean, come on, guys. You got to congratulate me on that.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. That was a Clark. But that one seems a little more plausible to me just because we have the live-action Ahsoka series coming out, and I could see them introducing her, Barriss Offee, as a live-action character with Ahsoka in some capacity.
They could, yeah.
But, you know, that being aside, I think it's cool to have those little flashbacks of Grogu because I wonder how much more there is that we don't know. Why was Grogu so valuable? And some speculation is that Anakin saved him and couldn't justify killing a baby.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. But not to just go right with that, but we also see Dr. Pershing mm-hmm. in this trailer. So we know he's back. What is he working towards? And so there's a lot going on, which I'm excited about. And I think that we are going to continue to get a very open, expanded universe that we can really play into. And I think things like Ahsoka, things all over the place have the potential and the possibility of coming into that. And we could really see some great stories.
Well, of the Star Wars that we have coming out this year, we have Star Wars Acolyte. We have do we have the
Skeleton Crew?
Skeleton Crew.
I saw this week that the filming has wrapped on that first.
And that's live action, right?
Yes, it is.
Do we have any recognizable names that
Jude
we know?
Jude Law.
Oh, wow.
Jude Law is leading that. And as I understand it, it's like a Castaway story where they kind of get lost in space and he's the adult and there's a bunch of children on the ship. And that's about as much as I know. But
interesting.
Yeah.
So we have that. We have Star Wars Acolyte. We have Mandalorian Season 3. We have Ahsoka. That's a lot of Star Wars this year.
And we're right in the middle of Bad Batch.
Yeah. This is going to be a good year for Star Wars.
It is.
Is there one? I'm going to lead this. I'm going to ask you guys what you're most looking forward to, whether it's a series or otherwise. I cannot wait to see a live-action Grand Admiral Thrawn. I am so excited for that. And I hope it happens this first year with Ahsoka. If not, I shall be saddened.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of torn between that and Mando Season 3. I think the story that they've done and what John and Dave have started to build with The Mandalorian in that series, I just think that they've got lightning in a bottle right now. And it's got such a great opportunity to continue to be great stories, great shows. And there is so much stuff that Disney decanonized that is such great material that we can pull from. And we're seeing it with Grand Admiral Thrawn. We're seeing it in some other areas. And so I would love to see them continue to pull some of that great material back in to make these great stories and we get a new twist on what we're seeing.
Guys, can I ask you a quick question about Star Wars?
Yes.
So, why do Star Wars fans like baths more than showers? They like Ahsoka.
Oh my gosh, why did you have to go with baths? I mean, you go to
baths. He was trying to say baths.
Bats.
Oh. Why do Star Wars fans like baths?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
More
I
than
heard
showers.
Bats.
I did too. But after I heard the joke, I understood what
All
he
right.
was saying.
Well, I got one to come back in the next.
All right. We're going to lead with a Nick's response to that when we come back after this final break from the Allo Communications Studios in downtown Greeley. Stick around. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to The Nerd Show.
Do you have a joke for us, Nick?
Actually, it's not a joke. It's a statement.
Oh, well then, statement away.
Well, maybe it's a question too. Why are chickens so funny?
Maybe that should be our poll question.
Because? I mean, I thought that was pretty good. We gave the silence for the an immense amount of laughter that's happening on the opposite end of the radio.
Yeah, yeah. Mike is, yeah, like staring through the glass. I feel if he had like lasers for eyes, he would have shot you down.
I think that's dynamite.
That's not bad.
I'll give you about dynamite dropping, Monty. That broadcast school's really paying off.
Yeah, where's that? I don't know about that one.
are you sure? That's a good
one. You
got
to be queued up.
It is no good.
Whatever. I dropped that one at Trivia in Fort Morgan this past weekend, and a lot of my jokes don't really fly in Fort Morgan.
Nor do chickens.
No, true. Just in Fort Morgan or
just in general?
That was fun.
There you go.
Anyway, somebody liked it, laughed, and pledged to use that on Sunday.
Nice.
So.
And do you know if they did? Did you follow up with them?
No, but next month when I'm there hosting.
Why not?
I don't know who they are.
Oh, see, that was another opportunity. You could have said, because! Again.
Dang it. Sorry.
You can lead a horse to water.
Oh, yep.
But anyways.
Well, exciting year for a lot of nerds. I mean, just wow. Love absolutely everything.
Yeah.
That's coming out in the foreseeable future. We actually have an unusual amount of time left in this last segment.
But we had a really weird thing happen this week. Mars has decided to...
leave the solar system?
Well, they have decided
to stop causing war?
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, because, you know, we run into all of that. But they have decided that they are going to, for the immediate future... are going to stop utilizing the spokes candies. So indefinitely, I believe, is the word that I'm seeing directly from the M&M representative or the Mars representative about it. But
is it because they never use the peanut butter one? No, but you know what?
No,
that's my
fantastic.
Favorite one, the peanut butter M&M. That's that and the peanut M&M. No. But everybody loves whatever. I'm not going to go on.
Nah.
Well, we added another color.
Why?
They just added another color.
They're the same flavor. They're all the same flavor.
So we don't need any colors, but M&Ms have colors.
Yeah, but would you just want to have a big brown? Of course it's a gimmick. You eat things that look attractive and pretty.
Yeah, we got rid of the tan one like back in the 90s or whatever.
Yeah, and they came up with blue, and guess what? Blue tastes like, brown.
Yeah, they all taste the same, but, you know, some were peanut, some were, you know, caramel, some were plain, whatever else. But there was a whole bunch of backlash, and we're not going to give the source of the backlash any credit here or any airtime, but it was like, people started complaining about the colors and, you know, their sexual orientation and whether or not their shoes were more comfortable than they used to be in some kind of... And so
it's
Mars
a cartoon
just,
candy.
I know. So they just said, hey, we're out. You know what? We didn't realize that the type of shoes that an M&M's candy wore was going to be controversial, but apparently it is. And so they have actually indefinitely suspended the use of their spokes candies, and they have hired Maya Rudolph to now be the new M&M spokesperson.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, what? They
I
were
like
the
Maya
best
Rudolph.
In the 90s with the commercials sneaking up on Santa. I still remember.
Yeah.
They do exist.
He does exist.
That was always fun.
Yeah, they play that every Christmas now.
Yep.
It's a dang shame. I, as Scott said, I can't believe we're coming down to colors of M&Ms. You know, if we want to talk about a travesty in candy, is Skittles when they replaced a lime with green apple.
Now, like that is a real controversy.
Exactly. Not this M&M color crap.
Yeah, okay, so...
First of all, M&Ms, you are a candy. You don't need to talk about social stuff. Second, people who are mad about it, it's
relevant.
It's just
I mean, that's
candy.
What you're doing. You're pumping out new logos. You're pumping out new brands. I mean, look at 477. They're coming out with different swag every quarter. I mean, you have to do that to keep people engaged. Marketing.
Well,
it works.
Tight Knit did the same thing last week. My son went over to Tight Knit to get a hat, and they were like already almost gone. I mean, great stuff that they're doing over there. But again, branding, merchandising, material.
What happens if 477 has a purple shirt? Is that going to be a catastrophe?
We don't want to go onto that road.
Well, that's going to upset all the people who are big fans of, what is it, Alzheimer's?
I don't know.
Purple is the official Alzheimer's. I think it's also the official Lambkins.
I think what's a problem with M&M's is, have you been to Target recently and you have about 30 different flavors to choose from?
Yeah.
And how do you choose? I mean, humans do really well when it comes to a minimal number of options to choose from. You go in, vanilla or chocolate. Now you go in, it's like, oh my gosh, I have 30 things to, I mean, it's like Baskin Robbins, 31 flavors. No wonder I'm sitting at an ice cream place for minutes at a time, knowing that people's eyes are burning into me, like there are too many options to choose.
Well, give me peanut butter ice cream, that's all I need. Yeah.
And I think that you should not even have to choose because Baskin Robbins always finds out. So I think eventually they would know what your favorite flavor was, and you wouldn't even have to say it because Baskin Robbins always finds out. I was trying to make a segue there to Ant-Man and the Quantumania film that's coming out here in a few weeks.
So. I'm actually really excited for that.
Yep.
Not that I wasn't looking forward to Black Panther. I was. It was just going to be different automatically without Chadwick Boseman.
It's going to be heavy.
Now, Ant-Man, I'm really excited about. I've always enjoyed Paul Rudd as Scott Lang. And this one, I think, may give us... we're getting Quantum Realm, which I'm excited about. We're getting Kang, who's going to be the big bad baddie. And I think there's going to be a lot of connection from some of the things I'm looking into is of, you know, everything we got exposed to in Loki might have been a cause of what happens in the quantum realm.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be what, who's the gal?
Well, Michelle Pfeiffer, yeah. She's alluded to that, and there's more to it. So I think we're going to figure out, we're going to find out that she was somewhat of like a rebel or a resistance leader against Kang during her time in the quantum realm. And so there's going to be more to the story that's going to get fleshed out in all of this stuff. And it'll be interesting. And I am too looking forward to it. And I think they are playing with one of the emotions for Scott Lang that is the strongest.
Mm-hmm. The time.
That he missed out on time.
Yeah.
And he wants that.
That's, you know, when it comes down to that, of the silly mistakes superheroes make for, I mean, look, they could have probably ended Thanos on Titan, except you had Star-Lord, where's Gamora? Where's Gamora? Then emotions got into it, and that's when Thanos got out, and then we know what happened there with the blip. And this is the case with Scott, of time. And can you blame him?
No.
I mean, he was under house arrest. I mean, if people are, oh, he's a super... Yeah, but look at who he was beforehand. He didn't choose to be a superhero. He was a guy who made some unfortunate decisions and lost a lot of time with his daughter. And now we look at it of... And then he lost the 5 years and died multiple times. So, of course he's going to try to find time with that. And Kang is playing to him. I am excited.
Totally is.
Do you think we're going to lose Ant-Man this time? Do you think...
No, I don't think we will. I think we're going to lose some of the main characters. And I think it's going to set up for more loss later on in some of the Armor Wars or Secret Wars stuff that's coming out.
Wow. I'm excited. So much good stuff coming out. That releases, I think, on February 17th. Ant-Man does. I still haven't seen Avatar 2. I still have to catch up on some of those. But wow, thanks for a great show. I'm out for the next 2 weeks. So
I think we're going to talk Pokemon in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and we'll catch up. Maybe do two bad batches, whatever. We have a lot of good stuff to talk about. But Nerdians, this has been Micah, Scott, Nick. You stay nerdy.